About a year ago, we began a study together. I began to walk the first Sunday of 2016 with you through Isaiah 43:19. Remember? And phrase by phrase, we've been walking through what God has had to say to us. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And over this past month, we've been looking at overflowing gratitude, at rivers in the desert, of God's promise to provide in ways that we could never imagine. This morning, we come to the conclusion not only of that study, but of our study of Isaiah 43:19. And I pray that it has been a rich part of your growth as you've walked with the Lord. And I'm looking forward to sharing this message today, because today we want to talk about the most important reason for gratitude. We're going to talk about thanking God for Jesus. Have you heard the news? Started about the middle of last week. About the middle of last week, they began to say on the newscast, might rain. Might rain next Tuesday. Not making any real promises, but it might rain next Tuesday. And then as the week went by, they began to say, we think it's going to happen. We think it's going to rain Tuesday. It might even start Monday night and rain Tuesday. This morning, the weathercaster said, looks like it's going to rain. It's going to start Monday night. It's going to rain all day Tuesday. And might even go into Wednesday. In fact, the forecasters are saying before all of this is over, we might see up to 3 inches of rain in the Birmingham area over the next few days. Amen is right. Thank God. Don't stop praying. We've been praying for rain. Can you imagine the sound of abundance of rain? That reminder that God keeps his promises. That reminder that we do have a Lord who makes rivers in the desert, who takes places that are dry and brittle and broken, and he begins to replenish them in such a way that we know we have been touched by an abundant God. And there is nowhere our abundant God touches us more clearly than he does when he gives us reasons for gratitude. You know, Thanksgiving just finished. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving day. We had a wonderful time. Judith and I loved Thanksgiving this year because we sat at home and everybody else came to us. I don't know how you do a better family Thanksgiving than that. We ate lunch together. Everybody had a great time. Everybody went home. We cleaned up. Great Thanksgiving day. It was a wonderful time. And sometimes we think that's the day. That's the day when you remember your blessings. That's the day when you stop and say thank you to the Lord for what he's done for you. And once you've settled that for this past year, then you're good until next Thanksgiving Day. But that's not really where how real gratitude works, is it? Real gratitude is never programmed. You never sit down with someone that you love, maybe a husband or your wife or your parent or your grandparent. You never do sit down with them and say, well, you know, it's Thursday. On Thursday, I'm supposed to tell you thank you, so thank you. And just move on with your life. When do you say thank you? When do you show gratitude? When something they have done touches your heart in such a way that you can't help but say thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for big things. Thank you for little things. Thank you for paying attention. Thank you for the way you reach out and touch my life. Thank you. Sometimes we deliberately stop and say thank you. Sometimes we're filled with gratitude when we just find ourselves in a place where we're grateful for the people around us. And sometimes the greatest moments of gratitude are the ones that come like a bolt out of the blue, when suddenly you realize God has blessed my life. I am richly blessed. Paul had those moments in his life. There are times when you read his epistles and he'll be going along. He may be teaching a lesson or sharing some doctrine or giving some instruction, or he'll just be talking to God's people about how to live for the Lord. And then all of a sudden, it's almost as though it just overwhelms him. And he begins to realize what the Lord Jesus has done in his life. And he'll burst out in spontaneous praise. This past week, a single verse came to my attention, 2 Corinthians 9:15, where Paul, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just burst out and says, "Thank God for his son, a gift too wonderful for words." Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. This morning, as I invite you to join me in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, we remember why God says we should be thankful for Jesus. So let's look at his word together. And the first thing that Paul says is this. He says, thank God for Jesus because he has given us unlimited blessings. Verse 3 has the most incredible promise. Listen to what he says. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Blessings, not just blessings, but every spiritual blessings. Rain, not just a little rain, not the promise of rain, not a shower of rain, but an abundance of rain. Rivers in the desert. God is flowing out and pouring on his people the blessings, not that they deserve, but the blessings they need. And that's what the Bible says. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now, the blessings are important, but the most important thing is this. Thank God for Jesus because Jesus reminds us that God's heart is turned toward you. God's heart cares about you. When God thinks about you, he thinks about you in a way that makes him want to bless you. You know, so many people are so limited in their spiritual lives because they believe the Lord God is watching me. He's watching me carefully. He's watching me all the time, and he's watching me with a judgmental spirit, and all he's doing is trying to catch me doing something wrong. Because when he catches me doing something wrong, then he can chastise me. Then he can punish me. Then he can discipline me. But what does Ephesians tell us? Ephesians says, when God thinks about you, he's thinking about ways that he can bless you. That his heart toward you is a heart of grace and love. That nobody will ever care for you like he cares for you. Thank God for Jesus because he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. There's a couple of things I want you to notice about those blessings that Ephesians tells us. The first thing is this. Ephesians says the blessing is an accomplished event. It says he has blessed us. He has blessed us. Not he can bless us, not he might bless us, not even he will bless us. It says he has blessed us. God's blessings are like money placed in the bank in your name. His blessings are there for you to draw upon them. They're already there. We may not receive them all at once, but Jesus has promised they are there waiting for us when we need them. You don't ever have to wonder, will God bless me? Because here's the secret. He already has. He's already placed his blessings on your account, and you can draw on them at a time of need. And it's important to know they're there just when you need them. God has already blessed you. You just have to receive it at the time when the blessings come. I was reading that the other day, and I was thinking about what I did with my own children when they went away to college. When both of my children left home to go away to college, the last thing I did for both of them was I took a $100 bill and I folded it in half and I gave it to them and I said, now put this in your wallet somewhere in the back because the day is coming. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but someday the day is coming when you're going to find that your car is broken down, or you're out of gas, or you're in a place where they won't take a credit card, or something's going to happen, and you're going to be in real trouble, and you're going to need some money. And when that day comes, that $100 bill will be there waiting for you to get you out of an emergency. And when it happens, let me know, and I'll give you another. The resource was there. They could draw on it at a time of need. And as long as they knew it was there, they never had to be afraid, because they knew everything would be okay. There's a difference between your children. Did you know that? My son carried that first $100 bill for 3 years. And then he called me one day and he apologized. "Dad, I am so sorry, but I really did. I came up against a crisis and I didn't have any money, and this is that situation, and I am so sorry." And I said, "Well, son, that's why I gave it to you," and I gave him another one. My daughter went through 7 of those things. Her stories were more like, "Dad, all of my friends were going to Outback, and I didn't have any money." No need to tell her this. She's on the other side of the country. But that's what the Bible says about the Lord. He has blessed us. It's there. It's waiting for you. You don't have to generate it or prove you deserve it or earn it. He has blessed you. But don't miss the second thing. The second thing he says is this: and the blessings are heavenly blessings. He says he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's important, because sometimes we get really confused about this idea of blessings, and we kind of confuse material things with God's blessings. We begin to say, if God's going to bless me, God's going to have to bless me in some material way. He's going to have to give me some money. He's going to have to make something happen. He's going to have to put something in my hands, because until I can hold it and touch it, it's not real. And God says to us, those are minor blessings. Those are transitory things. They're here one day and they're gone to the next. Someone said to me, told me a while back, said, "You know, there's only two things that can happen with any material possession that you can hold in your hands. Either it's going to leave you or you're going to leave it." There's a lot of truth in that, isn't there? Either it's going to leave you or you're going to leave it. That's why we need to know that God's greatest blessings are blessings in the heavenly places. The greatest blessings are those eternal things God gives us that can never wear out or go away. Like the presence of Jesus in your life, like the salvation that you have experienced, like the grace that you walk under every day, like your assurance of eternal life, those things that God and only God can give you. He has already given those to you because you belong to Jesus. We are blessed. Thank God for Jesus. He has given us unlimited blessings. And then the next thing Paul says is this. He says, and thank God for Jesus, because he makes us blameless. Unbelievable. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. If you're ever struggling to think of a reason to be grateful, you're going through some tough times, you've been through a critical experience, you're not sure where to turn next, and you wonder, is there any reason for me to be grateful? If you ever struggle with a reason for gratitude, remember this. Jesus Christ makes it possible for us to stand before Almighty God, the one who made us and knows everything about us. He makes it possible for us to stand before God. We take that for granted sometimes. They never took that for granted in Old Testament days. In Old Testament days, they said, you come in the presence of God, that's the end of you. That is instant and total personal annihilation. Nobody can stand before the face of God. Even when you were at your most holy, you stayed out of his presence until Jesus. And Jesus is the one who made it possible for us to stand before God. With all the ways we have fallen and all the ways we have failed. And God looks at you with all of your limitations, with all of your sinfulness, with all of the things that you have done wrong and all of the things you're going to do wrong. God looks at you, and you know how he sees you? He sees you as holy and blameless. How can that happen? We discover in the Lord real acceptance when all we deserve is total rejection. How can that be? Two little words that make all of the difference. In him. In him. He chose us in him. And when you're in Christ, you enter into a personal relationship with him, and he takes the responsibility for your forgiveness. Understand something. You can stand before God, and he will see you holy and blameless. Not because you're holy and blameless. Not because God decides to turn a blind eye. Not because God just decides to let bygones be bygones. You can stand before God holy and blameless because Jesus has taken responsibility for you. God doesn't overlook your sins. Jesus takes the full weight of your sin upon himself. That's what you were singing to us just a little while ago, Joe. Jesus takes responsibility for your sin. On the cross, he became our sin that we could become his righteousness. Nobody will ever give you a greater gift. So in those times when you think, I don't have anything to be grateful for, I look around my life and all I see is hopelessness and hurt. I don't have anything to be grateful for. This is what you have to be grateful for. There came this time when Almighty God, in the form of his Son, his only begotten Son, said to you, I will take the weight of all of your sin and I will give you my righteousness. No greater gift could ever be given. When my Father looks at you, he sees my righteousness in you. And your sin, it's gone. It's gone. And it can't come back. He took the punishment. And it's forever taken away. Thank God that I am blameless. Not because of me, because of him. But Paul's not finished yet. He continues on and he says, thank God for Jesus. He makes us family. Verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Jesus is the reason that we are part of God's family. We are brought into the family through Christ. Sometimes you hear people talk about humanity as a whole, and they'll say something like this, we are all God's children. In fact, I think if you ask the man on the street these days, is that a true statement? Everybody is a child of God. You probably get about a 90% yes on that. But the Bible says nothing can be further from the truth. This is how the Bible describes the natural human condition. Apart from Christ. This is what it says. We are separated from God. We are without Christ and without hope in the world. We are strangers to God. We are enemies of the cross. That's the way God describes those of us who don't have a relationship with Jesus. In other words, without Jesus, we are doomed to look through the window of God's house and wish we could be part of the family. That's what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying, no matter who you are, no matter how good you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how much you've tried to earn your way in, the best you can do is stand outside the house and wonder what it's like on the inside. To look through the window and see what's going on, but there's no way in. And you know why? Because in there, that's family. And you're not family. Not without Christ. And that's what Jesus can do. When you trust Him, when you make Him Savior, when you follow Him the way Chris has followed Him, you're adopted into the family. You know what that word adoption means that Ephesians talks about? That word adoption means once you were nothing, you had nothing to do with the family of God, and now you are no different from anybody else. You are family. You know, one of the things I love about the Lord and His kingdom is He never says, okay, you know, now those folks are in the middle, and then those folks a little further out, and then those folks a little further out, and then there's the outsiders. What I love about Jesus and God's family is this. You're either outside or you're inside. And once you're inside completely. You are totally, absolutely, without reservation, family of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for making us family. There's an incredible phrase in verse 6 that I love. This is how the Bible describes us. It says, we are accepted in the beloved. How good is that? We are accepted in the beloved. That means because of Jesus, we're in. Have you ever entered a meeting or gone to a party or even a church service? Have you ever been in a place and maybe you've never been there before and you walk into the room and immediately you feel like, I just don't fit here. I just don't fit in. Nobody will look at me. Nobody will talk to me. I'm not dressed right. I don't know how to act. I am completely like a fish out of water. All I want to do is get out of here. Have you ever had one of those experiences? And you're just about to leave, and somehow that person, and there always is that person who is the life of the party, the one that everybody likes, the one everybody wants to please, that person comes up and they put their arm around you and they say, they're here because he's with me, she's with me, this is my friend. And I want him to be your friend too. And what happens? And the whole room opens up. And all of a sudden, you're part of the crowd. The Bible says that's exactly what happens in the spiritual world. That we are outsiders looking in, that we know we don't belong there. We don't act right. We don't look right. We don't know right. There's nothing about us that makes us right. And then, we are accepted in the beloved. And suddenly the Lord Jesus says, yes, you belong, because you're mine, and I love you, and you're family. And when you're family, you're family. Jesus is the kindness of God when you least expect it. He makes you family. You know, that's my favorite word for describing church. It always has been. I don't ever talk about membership or congregation because I don't like those words. In the word, I like church family. I like family. I like we come together because we really care about each other. Because we belong together. One of the great things sometimes about church family is, and they're the people and they know me inside and out. They know when I'm good and when I'm bad. They know the things I've done right. They know the things I've done wrong. They know me and they love me because of Jesus. Because the one that makes us family is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that we're all the same or we came from the same places or we've had the same experiences. The one we have in common is Jesus Christ. And he's the one who says, family. And that's great. One last thing that Paul says to us. He says, thank God for Jesus. He makes us free. If you don't have any other reason to be grateful to the Lord, you have Ephesians 1:7, where the Bible simply says this: in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. What does the Bible say? Redemption, forgiveness, grace. And then that incredible phrase, through his blood. Through the sacrificial death of Christ Jesus, who gave himself for you. And you can be family, and you can be saved, you can be redeemed and forgiven, and it's free. But here's the thing about it. It has to be personally experienced. The real question is, where do those two little words come in your life? You know those two little words I talked about a while ago? In him? Because my question for you this morning is simply this. Are you in him? Are you in Christ Jesus? Is your hope in Christ Jesus? Is your trust in Christ Jesus? Is your future found in Christ Jesus? Are you in him this morning? Because if you're in him, then all of those blessings, all of those promises, all of that redemption, all of that adoption, all of that is yours in him. And it's extended for you, and all you have to do is receive it. And you do that in him. So I guess my question for you this morning is, do you find yourself in Christ Jesus? Are you found in him? Has there been that day in your life when you said to Christ, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, give me eternal life, make me part of your family? If not, then this morning, everything about that can change, because in a moment when we stand and sing our invitation hymn, you can walk down these aisles and I'm going to be on this side and Rich is going to be on that side, and we would love to tell you how you can be found in him. And all you have to do is come and say, it's time for me to give my life to Jesus. Or maybe you're here today and you're not a member of First Baptist. You're not a member of anybody's church, but you know you need that family that I've just been talking about. You need to be part of a family of people who belong to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, you couldn't find a better one than this one. And you just need to come and say, it's time for me to join this place. I want to commit myself here. I want to be a member and not just a participant. I want to be part of the family. Do you need to come? Is there another decision you need to make as a believer? We're going to stand and we're going to sing our invitation hymn. If you need to come, this is your day. You come. Let's stand together.